Major Queensland newspaper, the Sunshine Coast Daily, has published an apology this afternoon for yesterday's front page, depicting an image of Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk in crosshairs with the words, "Anna, you're next." The front page has drawn criticism from acting Queensland Police Minister, the Nationals MP Darren Chester, and Queensland's Minister for Women, Di Farmer, who all say it encourages violence against women. The apology comes after the Queensland government made a formal complaint to the national media watchdog, the Australian Press Council. Professor Julian Disney is a former chair of the Australian Press Council, and he joins us on Drive. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, why is this kind of imagery in the media like this damaging?
Well, really, because we're increasingly, it appears, in a volatile period, and there seems to be a greater tendency towards violence or threats in public debate, perhaps fueled by social media and by other factors. So that although this would have been deplorable at any time, it's deeply deplorable now. Words and images do matter. They have a big impact on people. It's only because of that, really, that editors and journalists, take on the work of being in newspapers, because they know that words and images matter. And this was a really very serious, inexcusable breach of standards.
We saw another comment from former Labor Prime Minister Paul Keating last week, calling for voters to drive a stake through Peter Dutton's dark political heart.
I've never seen any public figure as mean or mean-spirited as Peter Dutton. And at this election, those electors in Dixon have a chance to drive a political stake through his dark political heart. And I hope they do.
So why do you think we saw this kind of language throughout the campaign like this?
Well, firstly, I actually was greatly concerned by what Mr. Keating said, and I actually drafted a letter to the newspaper about it. I then decided it was probably best sent after the election, if sent at all. But this gives me an opportunity now to say that I really regret that kind of language. Now, that, of course, wasn't a newspaper doing it, but especially from a former Prime Minister, that's just deeply, I think, unacceptable. I might say also that the egging of Fraser Anning and the attempted egging of Scott Morrison is also unacceptable. We're blessed in Australia at the moment with a relatively peaceful arena for public debate, and we've got to hang on to it. And people using words to perhaps thrill themselves and get some cheap adoration from people who I think are too vindictive towards public figures is not acceptable. And the language of violence, especially the language of shooting, and the language includes, of course, images, is really unacceptable. I don't think it's just actually that it was a woman in the crosshairs. I think it would have been utterly unacceptable if it was a man. It's even worse because it's a woman, partly because of the that, at least in relation to domestic violence and in fact other forms of violence, it seems to be well, there's no doubt that it's a problem that particularly affects adversely women. It's not clear in the political environment whether that applies there, but it would have been, to me, utterly unacceptable whether it was male or female.
This sort of language and imagery is hardly new, but it's difficult to police. What's the usual process for the Australian Press Council to keep a watch on this sort of thing?
Well, it does have a limited effectiveness, especially during an election campaign. Perhaps one thing just to note at the outset is that although there's now been an apology, and I think it was sort of also deplorable that the apology took so long to emerge, the request for an apology was rejected, I understand, on Monday, and then perhaps through intervention from higher up in the news chain was offered today. But the council will continue, I would expect, because this is the practice it's adopted for the last 10 years or so and that the code requires. It will still consider the complaint and decide whether there's been a breach. The apology can mitigate the breach, but it doesn't prevent the fact that a breach has occurred and that needs to be acknowledged. But the council the words that I've used, such as deplorable, etc., are not, they're the words expressing my own views about it. If I were still at the council and was charged with having to be involved with others in deciding on this, then I would, of course, be applying the council's code of general principles. And under that, the relevant provision is that newspapers must take reasonable steps to avoid a substantial risk to health or safety. So that would be the first question here. Does this pose a substantial risk to health or safety? But then, if so, was causing that risk sufficiently in the public interest? Now, sometimes when great offence or whatever is caused, or even if in fact there can be a risk to safety or health, there may be a legitimate public interest justification. One that's often mentioned is freedom of speech, and the council does rightly very often regard freedom of speech as overriding particularly offence, if offence is caused. Certainly in my time, and I think since, one would find the overwhelming majority of complaints about offence are not upheld because freedom of speech, which includes freedom of the press, is important. But it's important to bear in mind that abusive language or implied or actual threats can't really legitimately hide under the cover of freedom of speech, if one's only looking at freedom of speech, because those threats inhibit people's ability to express their own views. They inhibit other people's freedom of speech. And freedom of speech is not just something that, and freedom of the press is not just something that applies to those who agree with the proprietors of the newspaper. It should apply to everyone. And the use of threats and abusive language and intimidation and misrepresentation of what people have said are all adverse to freedom of speech. So one has to bear in mind that double-sided element of freedom of speech here. Freedom of the press is not an unalloyed freedom to do whatever people want to, nor is freedom of speech for the community at large. It has to be weighed up against other freedoms and other considerations. But here, of course, also there's the importance of trying to maintain the relatively peaceful and rational level of public debate that we have in Australia. We may often deplore its failings, but it's a lot better than other countries. And to resort to this sort of approach definitely harms public debate. It also, incidentally, deters people from entering public life. And we badly need people of courage and principle to go into public life. But if they're going to be exposed to this kind of behaviour from the media, then many of them will not do so.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Professor Julian Disney is a former Australian Press Council chair.